Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Ann Arbor, earned a BA in Film and Video Studies from the University of Michigan. Since 2010, he's been the president of Portly Toad Studios. From 2020 to 2025, he was producer, writer, host, and speaker for Answers in Genesis. He's done projects for the Smithsonian Channel HD, Animal Planet, National Wildlife Federation, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the University of Michigan. The winner of 25 tallies. Wow. His name? Peter Schramer. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Peter Schramer. Ken Burns went to Pioneer High School in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
And you're a younger version of Ken Burns. So welcome, honored to have you.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Yes, no, we can totally do that. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share, to be able to celebrate wins, successes, blessings that you bestow upon us. And I just pray a blessing on our time together here, Father, and the people who are listening. Everyone is struggling with different things, challenges in all of our different lives, Father. And I just pray a blessing on everyone who's listening, that this interview would be encouraging, that they would have a moment to reflect on what you're doing in their life, Father. And I just pray a blessing on our time, our conversation, and today. So thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's go back, Ann Arbor, your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Yeah. So I've born and raised in the area and, you know, grew up in Ann Arbor my whole life and homeschooled, actually. Mm-hmm. And so my parents were homeschooling me all through the 80s and the 90s, not when a lot of people weren't doing that like they are now. Mm-hmm. But I loved it to pieces because it just gave me the freedom to explore and to learn in the best ways that I did personally. And it really fostered a great curiosity in me for exploration and learning and development. And I just really am grateful to my parents for what they gave me there. And I had a great experience. But Ann Arbor was a great place for that to happen because of all the opportunities for learning and exploring and stuff that we have.
Speaking of exploring, where did you get your love for nature?
That is a good question because I feel like I partly want to answer that question and say that I think every child is born with it. It's just whether or not it is cultivated or not. And so for me, it was cultivated because I think every single child is born with an innate curiosity to learn and to discover and to explore. And depending on a child's upbringing, that can either, like I said, be fostered and encouraged or not. And in my case, it really was. And it just took off. And I just, ever since I could crawl, I've been wanting to explore the outdoors. My parents did everything that they could to encourage that. So we did all kinds of outdoor activities, hiking experiences, trips. Nature centers, things like that to encourage that. So since the beginning is the answer to your question, Jack.
We're talking to Peter Schramer, www.peterschramer, S-C-H-R-I-E-M-E-R.com. At age 16, he started producing videos. Where did you get your love and fascination for the cameras?
That's a good question. Now, I've always been an artist, and so I've always had an artistic side to me in terms of drawing and sculpting and doing some of that. But my parents did a really great job reading aloud books when we were really little and then encouraging reading. So storytelling, basically, was a big part of my upbringing. And then I always loved watching old movies and TV shows. And growing up, I watched a lot of shows on PBS and, you know, watching, The Crocodile Hunter and Kratz Creatures and stuff like that, one of my inspirations was LeVar Burton on Reading Rainbow, because he was so genuine in his presentation to camera, to children watching, that even as a child, I thought, I want to be like that. I want to be able to do that for other kids, is have that genuine connection on camera. And so some of these inspirations brought me to a point of like, you know what, maybe I want to take my love of nature and animals and the outside and do television so I can share that with other families.
So you're 16 years old, and you and your younger brother go to the UP, and you shoot a home using a home video camera, a 30-minute video of wildlife in the UP. How'd that come about?
Well, it was very natural. Just I was very motivated to try and make my own nature show from watching stuff on TV. And so Theodore Roosevelt is my hero, and I'm sure that'll come up more than once in this conversation because he has influenced me in a lot of ways. But one of his quotes is, do what you can with what you've got where you are. And at 16, I had a home video camera and a younger brother. And so that's what I worked with. And so he was my cameraman. And we went out on vacation and we filmed this half hour video. And I didn't have any ability to edit anything back then. So we shot everything in camera, which means every take was live. And we shot every scene in order. So when you play the tape back, it's a done piece. It's completed. And so that was challenging. But that's what we did. And that was, like I said, a fun experience for us as brothers, but that really set the stage for then what we have done since, because the productions that I'm doing now, my brother is my business partner in that.
Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Riders.
Yes.
The founder of the National Park System. And I read recently that his mom and his wife died on the same day.
Yes.
And he was just overwhelmed, and he went North Dakota, South Dakota, for, I don't know, 6 months or a year to get away, change the world.
Yes. No, he wrote that if he had not gone to the Dakotas, that he would not have been president, that experience changed his life. And he was a prolific writer, but on the day that his wife and his mother died in the same house, in the same day, he just simply wrote a big X in his diary and said, the light has gone out of my life. And so it just devastated him, obviously. But his time in North Dakota fundamentally shaped the man that would be president. And you can go out there today to Medora, North Dakota, to see Theodore Roosevelt National Park and his cabin and learn a little more about that experience. And this year, on July 4th, they're opening up the brand new Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum as part of America 250, which is very cool.
We're talking to Peter Schramer. He earned a degree in film and video studies from the U of M 21 years ago. And I'm Jack Rizzola, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rizzola. We're with Peter Schramer. In 2006, Smithsonian Networks hires you. What did you do for them?
I did a series where we took the episode or the video that I did with my brother. And I used that as a, sort of a pilot episode and to show what I could do. And so Smithsonian picks me up to do a show that was called Critter Quest. Critter Quest was aimed at young children. The average age of my fans for that show is about 5 or 6 years old. And we did some episodes for them. And it is still available on Paramount Plus, actually, because they acquired all the Smithsonian broadcasting programming. And so that was sort of my big break, so to speak, because once you do something for Smithsonian Channel, it opens some doors.
How has the technology changed in the last 25 years? When you started as a 16-year-old kid using a home camera,
yeah,
talk about what you had back then and what you use today.
Yeah, no, it's fundamentally changed. I mean, first of all, when I started, you couldn't use a drone. I mean, you couldn't do that. You're doing helicopter shots if you wanted an aerial of anything. And you needed really expensive editing equipment or software at the time I began as a teenager. And so I actually, after producing the little home video that my brother and I did, I actually worked at a production company in Ann Arbor for about a year to learn the business and have access to some of that equipment because I couldn't have that on my own. Nowadays, of course, you have a 4K camera on your phone, you know, know, and you can very inexpensively purchase really nice, again, 4K, you know, video cameras that record onto little cards now as opposed to tapes, which is what it was when I started. And so here's what I would say. The tech, basically, the dream of what I had when I was 16 is now the reality, that you have access to professional videography equipment and even audio equipment at a low cost comparatively to what it used to be. So here's the deal. If everybody has the right tools, what matters is the storyteller, not the tool. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement to young people who are trying to get into video stuff is, don't focus on how good your camera is or how good your phone is or whatever. Focus on, are you good at telling a story? Because that's going to make you stand out from the crowd.
All right. Speaking of telling stories, in 2010, Zondervan Publishing says, Peter, we need you for 5 years. Talk about that 5-year career chapter with Zondervan Publishing.
Yeah, so I had, you know, in addition to my passion for the natural world, I also have a passion for God's creation. I mean, that perspective as a believer. And so I really wanted to be able to make something that was faith-based, that would give God the glory for the world that we see around us and honor Him directly. And so so what I did with Zondervan was a series called The Nature of God. And The Nature of God is an outdoor activity-based nature program that, again, gives God the glory. And so it was a nature program that then acknowledged God. So as opposed to making it a Christian show that talked about nature, it was a nature show that honored God when it was fit and natural in the context of the program. And we did a number of episodes for that series. It was a direct-to-DVD series that also had curriculum involved with that. And two children. Books. So I wrote two children's books and worked on curriculum as well as these episodes. And we filmed all over the state of Michigan for some of it. But then we also, for some contrast, went all the way to Hawaii. And so we were out there filming in Hawaii. It was really hard, very difficult work, of course, to be out there, you know, watching whales and swimming with sea turtles and stuff. But I took it like a champ. You know, it was good.
Speaking of children and families.
Yes.
From 2011 to 2016, you were a freelance writer for Focus on the Family. What's Focus on the Family, and what did you do for them?
So Focus on the Family, I didn't have a big role with them, but what I did do is I was a writer for certain nature articles for their magazine. So Focus on the Family is a Christian ministry. They do lots of different things, but they have different publications. And so for their family magazine, I was writing some nature articles. You know, again, just like I was doing for The Nature of God for Zondervan, I was, you know, talking about God's creation, and then again, asking the question, how does the creation remind us of the Creator and our relationship to Him? And so that's what I did for Focus on the Family, and that was really fun.
For 11 years, starting in 2006, you were a partner with Beyond Your Doorstep, LLC. That chapter, please.
So Beyond Your Doorstep, LLC was sort of the first part of me trying to establish, you know, launching pad, so to speak, for my business in terms of my, you know, TV productions and whatnot. And so that was a test run, so to speak, where I got a lot of good networking and connections done. But it was a building block or a stepping stone to what became Portly Toad Studios, which is my production company that I have with my brother. And so Beyond Your Doorstep was really just, again, a lot of building, networking, and some live presentations. I've done a lot of live talks. I'm the guy who brings the snake into the school and does that kind of stuff. And so I've done that a lot, and I did a lot of that when I was Beyond Your Doorstep LLC. Beyond Your Doorstep was the name of the first show that I did with my brother in the Upper Peninsula, and is also, by the way, the name of my new website coming out, which we'll talk about soon. And so it has a lot of history for me. But yeah, so it was a stepping stone to more.
2017 to 2020, Cornerstone Presbyterian Church, Director of Middle School Ministries, please.
Yeah. So I have always had a passion for ministry and for children and for families. And when you work in the arts, you do lots of different things. You know, you have lots of different jobs and roles and whatnot. And this was an opportunity that God placed in my lap to be a director of middle school ministries in Brighton. And I loved it. I mean, and I loved it because I had great relationships with these kids who, by the way, I am having good relationships with still. Like, I am still in touch with these kids, and they're in college, and they're doing other things with their life. I've built these relationships with these young people that were really wonderful to see. And so I enjoyed very much working in ministry with middle school, which a lot of people raised their eyebrows at, because a lot of people were like, you work with middle schoolers? Well, God bless you. But I had a blast. I had a good time.
Some would say you still are a middle schooler, in a good way. All right. From 2020 to 2025, you were producer, writer, host, and speaker for Answers in Genesis and Hike and Seek TV series.
Yes. So that is what a lot of people right now know me from, because it's very recent. And we produced 30 episodes of Hike and Seek in the time that I was there. So very prolific content. And Hike and Seek is what it sounds like. It's a hiking show. It's an exploratory show. It's getting families outside to explore God's creation. And again, asking the question, how can this experience and the world that God has made remind us of our Creator? And most importantly, our relationship to Him. And so Hike and Seek, it can be found on answers.tv. It's a streaming service for Answers in Genesis. And there's lots of content on there that's worth watching, but my show is a lot of fun. And I also did a Journey Through the Ark Encounter and Journey Through the Creation Museum, both half-hour programs that give you an overview of those attractions. And we just had a lot of fun working on those projects. We hiked all the mountains. We went through the Smokies. We went through the Ozarks in Missouri. We went to the Rockies in Colorado, and Red River Gorge in eastern Kentucky, and just looking at the beauty and grandeur of God's world, and had so much fun. And so I highly recommend checking out Hike and Seek.
You want to learn more? www.peterschremer.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Peter Schremer. Since 2010, he's been the president of Portly Toad Studios. I've seen a lot of toads. I think all of them are portly. All right. Talk about Portly. Why the name? And tell us about Portly Toad Studio.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the name is easy because, number one, you want to have a name that's memorable. And so something quirky is going to be memorable. And hey, you're in the arts. You might as well. And secondly, a portly toad is a happy toad. And portly toads, or any toad in general, the reason I chose toad is because toads, to me, are the ambassadors of the natural world to children. Because they're very common, that people have them in parks and even their backyard. But unlike a lot of other animals, like insects, they don't bite you. And unlike frogs, they can't get away so fast. And so they are a little creature that's not an insect, that cannot bite, that is an animal that they can catch, they can hold, they can experience. And so again, toads are the ambassadors to childhood. And that's why I chose Portly Toad as the name of our production company. And so, and our goal is to educate families about the natural world and to equip them to explore. So education through exploration. And with parents, nowadays, of course, parents today have grown up in a very different world than past generations. And so I want to equip them with the knowledge of how to take their kids outside and explore. Because we're living now in a time when a lot of parents did not have the same outdoor experiences that past generations did. And so I want to equip parents with the knowledge so they're not afraid of taking their kids outside. They're like, oh, I know what to do now because Peter showed me how to do that. And then for the kids, I just need to give them enthusiasm. They just need to know that it's fun and they'll go. And so if I can equip kids with enthusiasm and parents with knowledge so that they're not afraid of what they're doing, then I've won. That's the goal.
Speaking of parents.
Yeah.
You meet Nicole. You fall in love with her. And you go to her mom and dad and say, I'd love to have her hand to be your husband. And, sir, what I do is I'm the president of Portly Toad Studios. How did that go?
Well, let's just say that when you're an artist and you have a Portly Toad name behind you like that, there's a little convincing that has to happen. But I'm a good salesman, so I think it worked out okay.
Okay. Most of us, Peter, we see nature in black and white. Mm-hmm. You see nature in technicolor. How do we get what you have?
No, I really appreciate you asking that because like before, I said that I believe strongly that all children are born with an innate sense of wonder and curiosity to explore the natural world. We just have to encourage and foster that. And the same is true with us as adults. I think oftentimes what happens is that we are so busy and burdened and distracted, nowadays especially distracted, because there's so many screens and so much noise around us constantly that we've just stopped training our brain to see. We don't see the world anymore because we're looking at a screen, or we're too distracted, or we're just trying to survive the day. And so what I have is not something that, it's not like I have something that no one else has. Everyone has this. But what I've done is I've given myself time to cultivate that ability to see the world in a different way. And that means you have to stop moving. You have to be able to sit down. There's an activity that I recommend to families called stump sitting. And stump sitting means you go out into the forest and you sit down. It doesn't have to be a stump. And you sit down, no screens, no distractions, and you just sit. What do you hear? What do you see? What do you notice when you're not speaking and you're just listening and observing? That's something that no one practices anymore, and that's the kind of stuff that I have done to be able to notice the little things. And when you do more of that, where you take the time to actually breathe, to actually look, to actually listen, and to actually take notice of the natural world, those skills become a little more second nature. But at the beginning, you have to work for it.
You mentioned President Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
And he founded the National Park System, Yellowstone, etc. Talk to us about the national parks of the United States of America.
So the national park system, of course, has been around for a long time, and Theodore Roosevelt was instrumental in protecting them and building that entire system. But one of the other things he did was actually found the National Wildlife Refuge System, because what he did is not only give, like I said, better protection and establishment of more national parks during his presidency, but he started setting aside bird reservations or bird preserves and other places that became national wildlife refuges. And so today we have over 570 national wildlife refuges around the country, and every single state has at least one wildlife refuge in them. Many have many, and whereas we have 63 national parks. And so national parks are amazing and glorious and wonderful, but people may not know that we also have these other public lands that are managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that Theodore Roosevelt was instrumental in creating, and they're all over the place for us to enjoy today.
Back in the 70s and 80s, myself and a friend named Mark Hines would go to a national park once a year for 7 to 10 days. We had to carry everything in, carry everything out. Some unbelievable experiences. And there were times we did not see another human being for 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
And invariably, when we did, it was a person from Europe who was coming here to see God's grandeur. They talk about the Alps, et cetera, in Europe. Mm-hmm. But what we have in this country,
oh, yeah,
unparalleled.
It is. No, it truly is. People, because again, going back to being distracted and busy and look at our screens, we fail oftentimes to recognize the absolute incredible blessing of like total, like glorious landscapes and complete diversity. I mean, you have the Sonora Desert, you have the Rocky Mountains, you have the Great North Woods, you have the Southern Swamps and the Bayous and the Florida Keys, and you have the vast Great Plains, and then you have the rainy Pacific Northwest and the ruggedness there. I mean, it is so vast and so diverse, and it's under one country. It's one place here that we get to explore. And we have national parks all across this country. We have national wildlife refuges in every single state. There's so many public lands that have been set aside not only to preserve the natural world, but to allow us to love it forever and to care for it. And I think that is a great blessing that we need to take advantage of, get our families outside and see these places.
We're talking to Peter Schramer, www.peterschramer, S-C-H-R-I-E-M-E-R.com. The man has won 25 tellies. He's Michigan's own Steven Spielberg. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Home. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Peter Schramer, who has 25 tellies. What an honor. And he's still a very young man. I recently read that one of the astronauts in Artemis II wasn't sure there was a God. And in those 11 days, he changed his mind.
Mm-hmm. I read that too.
Why so?
The heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, it's the, you know, Romans 1:20 that God's, you know, invisible qualities are seen in the natural world. That people, when you look at nature, see the evidence of the Father. That the Bible says is very clear, that, you know, so that you can't be without excuse. You can't say, "I didn't know there was a God," because when you look at the natural world, you see the design, you see the care, the purpose. You know, one scientist said back at the founding of, you know, sciences, back when a lot more scientists were Christians, you could not study the natural world if there wasn't a God, because there's order. You can't study chaos. You can't study randomness. You study order and design and purpose. And that's what we see. And so part of what I hope to do, whether my production that I'm producing is either a very intentional faith-based one to direct people to God, or whether it's in a secular context, my prayer and my hope is always is that by looking at the natural world and seeing what we see here, that it directs people to a relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Speaking of which, the greatest artist of all time, Peter, is our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
talk about when he paints a picture, his paintbrush and the colors he uses.
Yes. So one of the things that I absolutely adore about being from the state of Michigan and growing up in Michigan is the fall color we have here. If you have not lived in other places, you don't maybe understand, because I, living in Kentucky for a number of years, even 4 hours, okay, that's not that far, 4 hours south of here, the color is significantly less than what we have here.
Is the grass really blue?
No, it's not. It's not. It's Kentucky bluegrass is not actually blue, but the colors up here are very, very beautiful, and part of that is because of the colder temperatures. When you have colder nights and sunny days, it makes the reds pop even further, and so higher elevation, like mountains, or higher up in terms of going further north, you're going to have more vibrant colors. So anyway, when I look at the natural world, you would, I've told people this, it would sound ridiculous to go into one of these, wonderful art museums that we have here, in Detroit and Ann Arbor, and say, isn't it amazing that after millions of years and lots of accidents, we have all these amazing, beautiful pieces of work just to enjoy because look how beautiful they are. You wouldn't say that. You'd say, look at what this artist made. You see the intentionality for beauty, because art, by definition, is made for the sake of being beautiful. There is no other purpose. There doesn't need to be, right? And so art is there for the sake of being appreciated. And when we look at the natural world, there are things that are beautiful that do not need to be. They do not need to be beautiful, but they are. Well, let's think about the leaves, because what's going on in the fall? The leaves are dying and falling off the tree because the tree is becoming dormant and getting ready for winter. Does that process need to be gorgeous? No. But it is, because our Heavenly Father is an artist, and He made this for us, for our eyes. So when you look at the beautiful landscape in the fall in October here in Michigan, and you see the yellows and the reds and the rusts and the oranges, and you say, my goodness, this is beautiful. God literally made that for your eyes so that you could appreciate it.
It seems to me that every year, come December, January, February, God runs out of paint. And the only colors he has are white, brown, and gray. But then spring comes in Michigan.
Yeah.
And overnight, everything goes from gray and brown to brilliant colors in the span of a day or two.
Yes.
How?
Well, the thing is, I share with people when I talk about seasonal change, is that it's actually all about how much light there is, because the lack of light in the fall is what causes the leaves to change and for the geese to fly south and for everything to happen, is the lack of light as we get toward the autumnal equinox. And then what happens in the springtime is we get more light, right? As we go toward the vernal equinox and then beyond, we get more and more light. And I don't think it's an accident, right, that our God is the God of light. And light is what drives life on planet Earth. And so in the springtime, as the buds are happening and everything, something that I like people to pay attention to, which you will miss easily if you don't look for it, is springtime isn't just new green buds. There's a palette, but it's a pastel palette. It's a muted palette. It's, if you look at the forest in early spring in Michigan, it is an inverse of the fall in terms of just a varied palette of colors that you can see coming out. It's not the same thing. And so, but you have to pay attention. You have to look. And so God gives us this palette of color in every single of the four seasons we have here in Michigan, and we get to enjoy each one of them uniquely.
It's not only that you can see spring here, but you can actually smell spring.
Yes, and that is a big deal for me. Like, that is one of the things I look forward to the most, because in wintertime, oftentimes, you can't really smell the outside. It's too cold. And the air is literally heavier. I don't know if you knew that, but it's literally heavier. So when you get out of the car in the parking lot for the grocery store and it feels like your breath is taken away and it hits you in the face, it's literally heavier and hitting you harder, cold air is. And so in the springtime, it's lighter, it's fresher, and you can smell the earth and the soil and all of a sudden that smell of spring just invigorates you to get outside and explore. And I love that to pieces.
We're talking to Peter Schramer. Since 2010, he's been the president of Portly Toad Studios. If you want to learn more, www.peterschriemer.com. And you have a new website coming out next month.
Yes. And so beyondyourdoorstep.com is the name of the new site. And that is where you can find all of my new films that are on national wildlife refuges. And not only do we have the films, but we also have these family companion guides that have discussion questions, hiking lists to make sure you're prepared for your adventure, word scrambles and activities, coloring page, all kinds of fun stuff for you and your kids. And then also we are having curriculum to talk about science and nature and geography and conservation and history. And so we have curriculum designed around these different wildlife refuges that I'm producing that are going to be available. And the fun thing is that one of these new films was shot right here in Detroit. And so Downriver Detroit is the only international wildlife refuge in the National Wildlife Refuge System because we share some of that conservation responsibility with Canada. And so Downriver Detroit is the Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge. And they're fairly new on the scene. The visitor center opened up in 2022. And it is the most interactive, fun visitor center that I have been in. If you take your kids, you will not be disappointed. There's all kinds of great ways. And I'm talking even like little kids. Like you can take them out there. And the trails, they also do a very good job of keeping the trails stroller friendly. And so you can take your kids out there and walk easily. They have a 700-foot fishing pier that they built out into the Detroit River. And if you have a fishing license, you can go to the front desk, ask for a tackle box and a rod, and go out and fish. And so there's all kinds of things that you can do. And again, you would not expect that 30 minutes from downtown Detroit would be a wildlife refuge. But I'm telling you from personal experience that if you go out into the woods there, by the way, they protect the last remaining mile of undeveloped forest along the Detroit River. So there are trees that are hundreds of years old in this little swath of land. And it is gorgeous. You get in there and you feel like you're a million miles away from the city. And so if you need rejuvenation, you need a break, you need a fun day with your kids, go to Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge.
Come July, you can go to beyondyourdoorstep.com. Peter, you walk to the tune of a different drummer. The road less traveled. What do you say to someone who's unique, very gifted, and afraid to follow his or her path or dream?
Well, there's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt that I have adapted for my life quote, and it is, far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much, for they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. And what he's saying there is, it's hard to fail, but it's worse to have never tried to succeed. Fear should never be the answer or the reason you don't do something. If fear is the only reason you're not doing something, it's not good enough. And so you need to risk. You need to let the Lord lead. If God's calling you, you'll make it. And so if you are going on a unique path, trust the Lord, seek his guidance, and risk it all for him, because he will honor that.
I believe that you should believe in your dreams, and everything you try to do, do first class. And that's the only way you live, Peter.
True.
Congratulations. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.